Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Freedom of Species would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast today. We pay our respect to the elders of all of the lands on which we meet across Australia.
Welcome to Freedom of Species, the show that brings animal advocacy to the airwaves of 3CR. You just heard Sally with Out of the Pan. Make sure you check out Sally every week. And I love that song, Talk Talk. Thank you, Sal. So today it's Trev and Caroline on the air. How are you, Trev?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Thank you. And today we are going to celebrate the life of Chris Rust, who is well known to many people for his continuous contributions to community initiatives, extremely well known in punk and anarchist circles, and also really well known for his long involvement with Food Not Bombs. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. And I think it's really important for us to celebrate Chris's life. It's really important to share stories. I think that we can do that more. So that's what we want to do. We have some tributes to Chris from loved ones and friends and people who knew him via Food Not Bombs. So we're going to read those out. We've also got the audio of an interview that Chris did with Pat on 3CR's breakfast, Thursday breakfast show in 2023. So that's really nice that we can, you know, hear Chris talk about Food Not Bombs in his own words. Mm. And we really would love people to text in if you would like to share a memory or reflection. And the number you can do that on is 0488 809 855. So if you'd like to text in something, a memory or reflection about Chris, you're very welcome to do that. We've selected some songs today from bands that Chris really liked, and a big shout out to Pete Green Rabbit who helped me with that. And I guess, you know, just to start, you know, it's really impossible to speak about Chris without speaking about the values that he lived by, you know, not just as ideas, as abstract ideas, but his daily practice, you know. And for decades, through Food Not Bombs, Chris embodied a quiet, unwavering commitment to solidarity, anarchist DIY ethics, and animal rights. And through Food Not Bombs, he brought people together. He created spaces of care and solidarity, and he lived out his belief in mutual aid, community, and respect for all beings. You know, Chris didn't seek recognition or the spotlight, but his steady presence shaped the community around him. And Chris understood that what he did mattered, but not for praise, you know, it was because it strengthened the bond between people, supported people in need, and really embodied the values that he held dear. And yeah, I guess in a way, Chris didn't always say a lot. Like he didn't, you know, center himself in the things that he did, but when he spoke, people listened. And I think even in silence, there's a really quiet strength and integrity that spoke volumes. And Chris was a steady, reassuring presence. You know, he was someone that would make you feel less alone just by being there, a comrade in the truest sense, and a person of quiet integrity and selflessness in what can be a difficult world. So we're now going to hear some reflections from people who knew and loved Chris, and who shared in the spaces and community that he helped build. I'm going to start out with a couple of those, but just a quick reminder, if you would like to text something in, you can do that on 0488 809 855. Okay. So I have a tribute from Tim, who is Chris's brother, and I'll just read that. So we realised that Chris was not well around Christmas time. By mid-January, we became more concerned as he was suffering badly from double vision. In February, he asked if I could pick him up with shopping as he was finding the walking a bit tiring. When I went to his place to pick him up, he was too weak to go, as he hadn't been eating much at all. I persuaded him to go to a GP, who then told me to get him to St. Vincent's right away. We went to emergency, and from there he was admitted to the respiratory ward and was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. That was 5 weeks ago, February 19. After a week in hospital, another 9 days at our place, and a very short stay at Caritas Hospice, he passed away quietly on March 9. He was a very quiet person, but that shouldn't be mistaken for meekness, as he stood by his principles and pursued his objectives with passion and energy. His love of music was shown by his vast and eclectic collection of records, cassettes and CDs. He was also a passionate supporter of live music, especially punk, and was known for how many gigs he would be seen at. As a brother, he was generous. In my teens, he was always trying to expand my musical horizons by giving me records by artists I hadn't heard before. I'm afraid I never lived up to his hopes there. He always turned up to family events, quietly sitting and listening to the rest of us chat around him. As a bachelor, uncle, and great uncle, he would amaze the kids by giving them perfect presents that he'd chosen just by listening to what they were talking about to us and to each other. He seemed to connect particularly with my daughter, with a strong shared view of justice and fairness. Thanks so much, Tim, and you know, our hearts will go out to you and your family as well. I was just going to share a quick note that I'd posted on Facebook after hearing this sad news, and even... looking at this, I'm still quite shocked. Very saddened and shocked to hear the news of the passing of Chris Rust. You know, it's been a few days and it really hasn't sunk in. Chris was a friend to many people and one of the most authentic people I know. Since we met in the 1980s, Chris has been an active participant in the punk and anarchist movements and a staunch community supporter. Chris had long been involved with Food Not Bombs, and was the kind of person who always showed up and stood up. Staunchly anti-fascist, we'd catch up at protests more than gigs these days. Chris has been described as a quiet achiever, and that's fitting. Chris was driven to contribute, collaborate and connect, not to do things for kudos or, you know, social media likes. You know, time is really elusive, and you know, I was sort of certain that we'd seen each other a month back, but it was actually on Invasion Day, so January 26th, and we chatted about food relief and other things, you know, Food Not Bombs and Project Fresh Start. You know, is there something that we can collaborate on? I mentioned wanting to do a Punk for Palestine gig for Plant the Land Team Gaza. Chris said, do it, and that was always his attitude, just do it, you know. And I'm really going to miss these conversations, and I feel that we've all lost Chris's dedication and proactive community impact. You know, he contributed so much. Chris was a gentleman and a gentle man, and he will be greatly missed by many.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Should we, I guess, for the listeners, maybe play the audio we have of Chris's interview?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
Good for people let's to hear. That. So, did Great. You want to give a bit of a summary of what we're going to hear?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Chris came on to 3CR's Thursday Breakfast Show and did an interview with Pat/Spike, one of our friends. And it's really lovely to hear Chris's voice and also him talking about, you know, Food Not Bombs. So, yeah, it was great that Pat mentioned this interview and then I went and found the audio. So I'm really glad we can include it.
Yeah. Yeah. So this it goes for about 10 minutes yep. and it's just a complete recording of the interview that he gave.
In 2023.
2023. Yeah.
Today on Thursday Breakfast, we're speaking to Chris Rust from Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs are a non-hierarchical grassroots organisation who have established ways of working together to meet our collective food security needs in ways that challenge the existing capitalist system that has failed us. Food Not Bombs also provides an example of what is possible when people work together to meet collective needs and not the greed of a minority. Food Not Bombs also reminds us that there are alternatives to the way things are. Welcome to Thursday Breakfast, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so tell us a bit about Food Not Bombs in Melbourne, and when did it start, who gets involved, and what its main mission is.
All right, well, yeah, Food Not Bombs exists to serve free vegan food out on the streets. And it started back in about 96, I think, and I started with it when I heard a call out on the sewer show on 3CR, and they said, come into the city square, we're serving food on a Monday night, and I was working in Carlton, so it was not much of a detour to go to the city to help with the food. And then Food Not Bombs itself, we just collect leftovers from the Victoria Market, the organic grocery section. They've got an arrangement there that instead of putting it in the bins, they give it to us and we take it away and cook it up and make meals with it.
So would you say is the main mission solely to address food insecurity, or is Food Not Bombs about more than that?
Well, the original group that started 40 years ago in America started at a anti-war protest. People said we could serve food instead of governments paying for bombs. So that's the political part of the situation. It's just in the name there. And then in Melbourne, at the moment, we're mostly concentrating just on feeding people, but we do support with food for other groups when they're organising. If they're having meetings or conference or something, we can do some catering there for them.
So how are meals produced and distributed, Chris?
Well, at the moment, we're doing 3 meals a week. There's Mondays and Tuesdays we cook up at the Collingwood Neighbourhood House in the flats down at Hoddle Street. And then Monday nights that goes out as a packaged meal, because during COVID we couldn't have servings on the street where people were coming to eat. So we set up a system where we've got packaged meals that we take out and distribute. And at the moment we're going to the safe injecting room in North Richmond. And then on Tuesdays, there's also a serving now in the park in Butler Street near Lennox Street in North Richmond. So at 7 o'clock, there's a hot meal there for people. And then on Wednesday nights, they're cooking up at the Catalyst Centre in Coburg. And that's an open meal. Everybody can come at 7 o'clock and have a sit-down meal.
How do you choose your areas, Chris? Well, have you had food? Yeah.
Yeah. We used to go to Footscray, which was where there was a big serving. Other charity groups were going there and serving. So we were taking along the vegan food as an option for the people there. But then during COVID, we just had to try and find where the people were to feed. So then we decided on the...
Is vegan food, is part of serving vegan food like a political statement about how food is produced?
Yes, that's one of the philosophies, that's non-violent. So a Buddhist principle of non-violence would be vegan food, yeah.
Can you talk more about that? In terms, because it's anti-factory farming. Is that right? Is that comes from not wanting to support factory farming, not wanting to support sort of capitalist ways of producing food. Is that right? Which are seen to be violent.
Yes. That would be some people that comes philosophy, I suppose.
So are people volunteers or are people paid to work at Food Not Bombs?
Well, yeah, the people doing the Food Not Bombs are volunteers. It's just if you want to do something, you come along and cook food and serve the food, and people collect the food from the market. And we've also got some arrangements with Natural Tucker Bakery and Wild Things Grocery. We get leftovers from them as well, so...
Is volunteerism an important aspect of the Food Not Bombs philosophy?
Well, it's just how it exists.
Okay.
We don't have money to pay people.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, we just, people get together and share the food out, yeah.
Okay. So we talked about that it was vegan food. Do Food Not Bombs get any other support, like from local councils or from the city or?
Well, yes, at the moment we're using the Collingwood Neighbourhood House, so that probably comes under Yarra Councils.
And how do you develop those relationships? Was it just like getting in touch with them?
Well, yes, during COVID we couldn't access the kitchen we were using, and someone asked around, and the Collingwood Neighbourhood House did have a food security program, so they have a giveaway of food and groceries, so they had the space there and the kitchen, so we were able to use it.
Okay, this is another question. So, I don't know if you saw in the news recently, there was the national, the National Wellbeing Strategy or Framework.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, well, it basically said that how Australians feel about how secure they feel in Australia, and they said that on a scale of 1 to 10, this survey reckons that people felt it was about 7.5, that they generally felt secure. In your experience working with working at Food Not Bombs, what have you seen out in the community? Do you feel like people feel secure?
No, there are some people who do need help. Yeah, they.
What are the numbers like at visiting?
Probably 20, 30 meals go out each day. Yeah.
Because I remember when I was having my homeless experience, the food that I look forward to most came from Food Not Bombs. The difference between you guys and, say, a St. Vinny's sort of situation that came out of the food van is that they almost make you feel guilty for accepting the food. You felt judged. And that never, ever happened when visiting Food Not Bombs. The food was a hot meal. It was freshly made. It was just the general vibe around the place was a lot better and a lot more positive than when it was around, I guess, traditional charities.
Well, yeah, I suppose when Food Not Bombs was starting, some of the people involved were squatters and people who were living on the edge of this anyway, so they knew that people would appreciate it.
So has that changed? Has the is it less concentrating on that these days, Food Not Bombs?
Well, at the moment we've got quite a few people who have been with Lentils, and then when Lentil as Anything shut down, they've found another outlet to be doing their cooking for the vegan food. So they've come along to Food Not Bombs and do the cooking.
Oh, so you guys have combined.
Well, they've come over to
Food Not Bombs. They've come over to Food Not Bombs. Okay. So do you guys still do the dumpster diving stuff?
Well, that's just got a bit topical now, because some people were saying Food Not Bombs should be free, but we've got the arrangement with the grocers so we can guarantee our food's fresh food. So that's probably safer and better than...
Okay, so you, because your role is to provide food consistently, and it's, I guess, dumpster diving isn't reliable.
Yeah. But then again, at the Catalyst Centre in Coburg, they have what's called a really free market, which does serve what they found. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it allows people to be more independent. I guess it gives them control over their own food sort of situation. If there's another way of accessing food that isn't through the market,
the marketplace.
So what would you say the Food Not Bombs philosophy is? Or has that changed over the years? Is it just
to provide the food, yeah.
Okay, so if people want to volunteer their time or learn more about Food Not Bombs, how can they get in contact?
Yes, there's an email, fnbmelb@riseup.net, or they can visit the website fnbmelb@noblogs.org, and then we're on Instagram and Facebook. If you just look up Food Not Bombs NARM, NARRM.
Okay. So thanks for coming on to Thursday Breakfast, Chris. Uh-huh. I really appreciate it. And for telling us about Food Not Bombs, I guess, I don't know where a lot of people, I don't know where I would have done without Food Not Bombs, and I was having my experience, man. Uh-huh. So thanks for coming on.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
That was the interview with Chris on Thursday Breakfast.
Yep.
2023.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really nice to hear from Chris himself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And hear things in his own words about, mostly about Food Not Bombs, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And it was nice also to hear Pat, who we've had on the show before, talking about anarcho-punk and animal rights. So, yeah, I was just glad that Pat mentioned that. So, yeah.
Mm.
Should we go to a song?
Yeah, let's go to a song. Which was the first song, you think?
Yeah.
You can announce. Okay.
Well, trying to think back about, all of the incredible punk bands in Australia and, in NAM, we've been so lucky with, so many amazing bands over the years. So, yeah, thanks to Pete, we were having a chat about, which songs can we have today? But anyway, we're going to go with, first off, Vicious Circle, Police Brutality, which is an amazing song. And it was originally released in 1984 on a compilation album called Eat Your Head. So this is Vicious Circle, Police Brutality.
Freedom of Species would like to thank Project Fresh Start for their financial support of this program. Project Fresh Start provides free plant-based food to the community, with a focus on providing healthy, fresh plant-based food and education around healthy eating and living in a way that sustains the individual, the community, the animals, and the planet. To find out more about our community lunches and programs, check out projectfreshstart.org.au.
Trans Day of Audibility returns to 3CR for its fifth year running. 8 hours of wall-to-wall transgender programming, featuring live music, lived experiences, and dispatches from the front line in the war against reaction. Tune in from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 31st of March. 3CR Community Radio, 855 a.m. 3cr.org.au, 3CR Digital.
And you're back on Freedom of Species with Caroline and Trev. And today we are celebrating the life of Chris Rust, who is a friend to many people, very heavily involved with Food Not Bombs, the people might know. And we want to, remember Chris and, honour his life. If you would like to text in a reflection or a memory, please do so on 0488 809 855.
Yeah. And so that song that we just heard was Police Brutality by Vicious Circle. That was one of Chris's favourite bands.
Yeah.
And one that I think, did you go to a gig with him to see Vicious Circle?
Yeah. I mean,
you assume at one point you would have seen it. Definitely. So, we have had someone text through their thoughts about Chris, and we're going to read that out now. So this was from Carl, who texted it through just a few minutes ago, and thank you for that, Carl. Carl says, I first met Chris, who had a big bucket of vegan pasties for all protesters at the November 2006 G20 summit protest on the Melbourne streets. Mm. He says, it was always a pleasure to meet him at gigs and parties and Food Not Bombs and demos since then. Love and miss Chris from Carl. And Carl also says, thanks for doing this tribute show. So, no, thanks for texting that through, Carl. We really appreciate hearing people's thoughts about Chris. And, if anyone else wants to text anything through.
Please do on 0488 809 855. I did just want to quickly read a message from Peter Greenrabbit, a friend of Chris's, who, you know, was helping me with the song selection. And he said, I met Chris in the 80s at a local gig. And I thought, this is a quiet dude, and, you know, chatted to him every gig I saw Chris, and we always talked, and, you know, he probably felt the same way about me. You know, they're both sort of fairly quiet people. I worked with Chris in various projects such as Food Not Bombs, Anarchist Black Cross, when he was a member for a short time alongside me. Last time I heard from Chris was at the end of January, and he went to my barbecue birthday party, even though I'd cancelled it. He was very quiet, but when he spoke, it was profound. And I would really echo that statement. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
Do you want to read some of the other tributes that we have from quite a number of people that were involved with Food Not Bombs with Chris?
Yeah. So we've got a few different tributes to read through. And just having a look for, do you want me to read out from S? Yeah. So this is from Esther, or S. And S says, hello, I was a close friend of Chris's. We met at Food Not Bombs way back in 1998 at Barricade Books, when Food Not Bombs were there cooking out the back on Sydney Road in Brunswick. We cracked a lot of politically hilarious jokes and got along famously, so we became friends. He was a gentle, quietly spoken person, an avid human rights activist and humanitarian. He believed in freedom and in punk music. He was involved with Anarchist Black Cross for many years and could be seen at almost every rally Melbourne has ever hosted and every DIY gig, earning the name Chris of Many Gigs. That nickname was Chris of All Gigs, given to him by fellow punk friend Sim. Chris died from undiagnosed condition not long after the doctors finally, after they finally diagnosed him. He will be missed by many. Rest in peace, Chris.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do we have? So there was, because if we skipped over one from
the next one. Oh, yes.
Did you want to read that one out first and then I'll do the one after?
Sure. Just let me grab that. Alrighty. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thanks to Home for sending this in, gathering some perspectives from various people from Food Not Bombs, some who, you know, I guess want to just share a memory and remain anonymous. So I'll just read this out verbatim. Chris was a quiet, unassuming Food Not Bombs legend. As solid a comrade could be. I'm sure his steadfast commitment to Food Not Bombs over literally decades was in big part because of the value he put on pragmatic solidarity based on anarchist DIY ethics and as a defender of animal rights. He didn't speak much, but when he did, it was worth your time paying attention to what he said and thinking about it. He didn't seek the limelight, but just shone anyway in his gentle, humble presence. He's deeply missed, and his inspiration will stay with everyone who knew him. These reflections from folks who worked beside him at Food Not Bombs say it all. Chris didn't do a lot of talking and didn't do a lot of talking about himself. He joined Food Not Bombs in 1998. It started in Nam in 1996. So he'd been a stalwart of Food Not Bombs for decades. He put a lot of effort into doing the mundane things that needed doing for things to function, but got overlooked by others. He would routinely stay behind and clean the kitchen rather than going out to do the fun part. I miss terribly not seeing him at gigs. I'd rock up alone to a gig, feeling anxious, and there was Chris. And I didn't feel alone. It meant a lot. Silent Chris, Chris the Great, Chris of the gigs. Probably many more names folks have for what he was to them. A good person in a sometimes shitty world. Probably the fact that he was there at 4 p.m. on the dot every week. He stayed and cleaned up the place while we served. He was always working and made sure Food Not Bombs ran as effectively, efficiently as possible. He was a quiet guy who was always helpful and supportive to those around him. He was inspirational because of how he ran such a wonderfully tight ship with Food Not Bombs, but he was never someone who would exert his authority. It's really hard to explain. Always so organised, always there early, and making sure that everyone had space in a very small kitchen. I didn't speak to him much, but he just felt like the type of person who had so much quiet strength and experience that could be admired from a distance. It was just how he conducted himself and how he made sure everybody was doing their best. He wasn't afraid to cut up fruit or whatever that was hand-fed to him. Oh, sorry. Let me start again. He wasn't afraid to eat cut up fruit or whatever that was hand fed to him directly from my fingers. Chris had good mixtapes and compilations of tasteful music. I think he said, oh yeah, the most. My last two correspondences from him in the lead up to his passing consisted simply of thanks.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks very much for all that.
Yeah. So I'll read one that we have from Elk.
Yeah.
And Elk said, I was asked by another Food Not Bombs member to share some words about Chris Rust. Chris was a quiet, caring person and the backbone of Food Not Bombs in the kitchen twice a week for many years. He knew what to do, how much to cook, how long this takes, is this good, etc. I just followed his instructions, chopping vegetables and fruit. I remember having random conversations about politics, music, and where we were when the Hoddle Street Massacre happened, for example, which was a completely unknown event to the younger people. I tried to nominate Chris for a community award for his many years of efforts and had another Food Not Bombs member, who was Emily, second that nomination, but he didn't want the kudos, so I asked them to withdraw the nomination. I tried to say you could donate the money to Food Not Bombs as a way to persuade him to accept it, but he insisted on being the humble, quiet achiever and workhorse. I remember giving out fire blankets from the dumpster to him and the rest of the gang, as his house didn't have ones either. I remember dropping a big bag of hardwood sawdust to his house for his compost and waking him up trying to wrangle the giant bag to the front of the house. I have a nice photo attached of my leash-trained cat in a basket I dropped off to him by bike. In true Food Not Bomb style, I found the basket in a dumpster and discarded by the supermarket as the handles were broken. I covered the logo with tape and gave him cable ties to attach it to his rack. Parking at Collingwood Neighbourhood House was limited, so bringing stuff by bike and having the ability to carry gear is important, as well as minimising our environmental impact. I remember his blue mountain bike locked up outside the steps of Collingwood Neighbourhood House. Seeing it made me feel reassured that cooking was happening and food was being rescued from landfill and organic waste. I often got there later due to work. I remember his little red hatch car and helping him fill it with cardboard to go to the Yarra Depot and Clifton Hill for recycling. Chris told me the flats at Collingwood doesn't have recycling at all, which I was appalled about. The compost bin there had so many rats, I dropped off sawdust here too, and there was not enough carbon. I saw him not long ago cycling, because we live in the same suburb, and wanted to say hello, but felt guilty I hadn't been to Food Not Bombs for so long due to work and illness. Here is another photo of us during COVID around however many years of Food Not Bombs anniversary cake. I'm on the right-hand side, not sure what my hand is doing. It is not often he wanted a photo. Looks like Dayal took a selfie. So we might try and put a photo up.
Yeah, we'll put them up. I've got them.
On the show notes. Yeah. So, and hopefully you can see that photo.
Fantastic reflections from people. So many similar themes of, you know, a quiet person who, you know, spoke very profoundly about many, many things that, you know, he believed in passionately and was also really funny and witty. So if you'd like to text in a reflection, please do so before 2 p.m. And the text number is 0488 809 855. Trevor and I were also just talking about we might try and set up kind of a live document, maybe CryptPad, something like that, or if people would like to add a note, they can do that. And it just can be like a living document. So just look out for that in the show notes. We'll try and add something there.
Yeah. Should we play a second song?
Yeah, let's do that. So
which one were you thinking to do next? I know you were umming and ahhing which one, but...
Okay, let's do Arm the Insane.
Okay.
So this is Heard It All Before, awesome song from an album that came out in 1987 called Remember. Now, I definitely remember seeing Arm the Insane with Chris, I think, at the Duke of Edinburgh, which is no longer a venue in St Kilda. But yeah, these are all just great, you know, 80s punk memories.
Species thanks Animal Free Science Advocacy for their financial support of this program. Animal Free Science Advocacy works to create a future where no animals are harmed in the name of science, and scientific progress is advanced through animal-free research methods. Become a member today by visiting animalfreesci.org.au. That's animalfreesci.org.au.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species on 3CR this Sunday afternoon. Today's show has been a tribute to Chris Rust, and we've been reading out some people's thoughts, playing some music from bands that he loved, talking about parts of his life, obviously Food Not Bombs being a big part of his life, and his anarchist ethics and DIY passions. And,
absolutely.
So.
And just on that, I just love to say that Chris was so involved in so many different things, and he was the person that would, I think I mentioned, always, you know, show up. So I didn't, you know, maybe go to as many gigs these days, but invariably I would see him pretty much at everything. So yeah, the last time I saw him was at the Invasion Day rally. But he would be at everything. Yeah. You know, trans rights rallies, you know, I can't even think of the whole list. He was definitely there on that awful...
Any social justice issue, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on that awful day with the Posey Parker counter rally where, you know, there was a really overzealous and violent police response. So, yeah, I guess that's one of the things that, you know, I will always hold dear, that he really... really lived his values, and he really showed up, and he really cared about many things. And
And in case anyone's just joining us or hasn't heard the details, so yeah, unfortunately, Chris passed away earlier this month at the start of March, and it was
in February. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yep, in Feb.
That's right.
And it was because of a undiagnosed or late diagnosed lung cancer. And complications with that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was about a month ago then he would have passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got some more tributes to read out. I've got one from Jules, who was part of Food Not Bombs in Melbourne. So I'll just read that out. Jules says that she was, part of Food Not Bombs in Melbourne for about a year, from 2016 to 2017. But Chris's impact and presence was always felt. By that time, our Monday night cooking crews were often a little party of 4 to 10 of us, depending on the week. Only one thing was really for certain, and that was that Chris would be there. Everyone said he'd been holding it down since the start. The current chapter of Food Not Bombs in Naarm started 30 years ago. Chris was fully committed to Monday night servings, even when others' participation inevitably phased in and out. Many weeks he cooked and served alone. Tall tales tell that he used to cook a simple dish and rice and use that and carry it solo on his push bike to serve people.
Yeah.
Chris didn't take up much space with his words or inane chatter, like Jules says herself. If you needed to know something and asked, he'd tell you. I came into Food Not Bombs barely knowing how to cook, and once I got my bearings in the kitchen, I would ask my more experienced comrades for advice on my different dish ideas. Chris gave me instruction through my first batch of vegan mac and cheese.
Yeah, great.
Chris was always out at gigs on weekends, and over the years was involved in protests for the rights of all. Liberation of West Papua, the end of shark fin harvesting, and being against nuclearization. Chris was all in for the community and for vegetarian food sharing for all. He avidly shared on social media Food Not Bombs' history, their stories and events from all over the world, and worked to network with volunteers and food distribution opportunities in Melbourne. Chris and his wit and dedication are an inspiration. He will forever truly be a bloody legend within Food Not Bombs Naarm. Peace, love and eternal mung beans to you, Chris.
That's
so thank
awesome.
You, Jules. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's great, Jules. And, you know, just talking back and thinking back, I'm sure I've seen someone comment, quite a few comments on Facebook as well, that, you know, Chris happily did all those things that could get forgotten, or, you know, people didn't have the time to do, that someone had said he was, you know, doing the veggie pickup for sort of, you know, 13 years going and, you know, getting veg from the markets, et cetera. So,
doing a Food Not Bombs night on his own. That's
doing
tough.
It on his own. Taking the food on his bike.
Yeah. Like doing it all start to scratch.
It's the whole thing about
start to finish.
Living his values, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did volunteer with Food Not Bombs a bit in Melbourne, mostly through a friend of mine, Dayal, who we heard from in one of the other recollections who was mentioned. And, it's always like, it definitely was a sort of space where people would have varying capacity to help.
Yeah.
So to hear that Chris was there as almost the only constant, like for so many years.
Yeah.
And when people were sort of floating in and out because of their different availabilities, which I think is always a good thing to be able to absorb that, because not everyone can commit to a day a week for multiple years or 2 days a week or whatever. But obviously Chris could, and Chris was able to do that, and that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And I think it also is really important to reflect back and mention, you know, that period of time during COVID that was just so difficult for many people, you know, in our, well, across the world, but many people in our city with the amount of lockdowns that we had, and just, yeah, it was just a very heavy and difficult time, and they were a real constant, you know, in getting food to people.
Yeah, exactly.
When it was needed. Yeah.
So we wanted to, in the spirit of what Chris would want, if you want to get involved with Food Not Bombs, please do. So Food Not Bombs operates, like, I haven't been involved personally for a few years, so I don't know the full details, but I think they still operate out of Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple of cooking sessions a week. We'll link to that also in the show notes so people can get involved.
But generally what's involved, if you've never really learnt much about Food Not Bombs, on the nights that they operate, they will, as Carolyn said, someone will turn up. There's normally a fridge and some storeroom where they're collecting food that gets donated or that is dumpster dived. Good quality food that they're going to try and reuse that would otherwise go to landfill.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've got a community kitchen there and a storage area. And so when people will start at about 4 o'clock in an afternoon on whatever night that they're serving, people will come in and they'll start to prepare. So they'll grab some, there might be some fresh food that's come along on the day, or it might be mostly using some of the older supplies from the fridges and the storerooms. And then they'll start cooking up a batch of food, and people will just come in at various times when they can, when they've finished work or finished their other commitments, and meet there and start in the kitchen and cook up a few different things. And then they will divvy them all out into small serving containers and stack them all into sort of boxes. And then they will go out somewhere where people are sort of, they've sort of established a spot where they will give out food. So it can be different. They'll sometimes go to a couple of different spots, but generally it's the same place at least for a couple of weeks or a couple of months in a row. And then they might have to move on to a different spot. But typically people who are either sleeping rough or have very little means or ability to source their own healthy food. So it's giving out food to those people, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And there'll normally be a couple of different containers of different food. So there might be some fruit, or like a fruit salad as a dessert. There might be a curry and rice that's given in one container. There might be something else as well. It just depends on what's available. And they'll be given out. And then, as we heard, often someone or a couple of people will stay and wash up, which used to be Chris. That would often, if there was people doing the more fun side of things, which was the handing out the food, other people will wash up in the kitchen. And the whole process is probably normally finished by about 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And some people don't go that late. It depends how many people are helping on any given day. And there's also roles for people to be involved with food collection. So going out to try and get food that is going to be thrown away from different markets. I know Queen Vic Market sometimes is somewhere they try and source food from. Other markets, different shopping centre dumpsters, or you know, supermarket dumpsters, trying to find anywhere that people can find food that is too good to throw out, but is thrown out or is going to be thrown out to try and reuse. So I think people, if they've got ability during the days to visit those places and to ferry food back to the community kitchen, that's also a help.
Definitely.
So yeah, check out Food Not Bombs on social media. And we'll put in the show notes ways that you can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll also put in a link to, there is a book about Food Not Bombs called A Mass Conspiracy to Feed People by David Border Giles, and really sort of looks at the way that capitalism simultaneously manufactures waste and scarcity. and how communities of marginalised people, you know, are really disproportionately, you know, impacted by this. And so, you know, covers really, I guess, that sort of global grassroots soup kitchen approach that, you know, I think they sort of started with to make sure that they're recovering waste at, you know, supermarkets are particularly throwing out, etc., and trying to, you know, address some of the inequality and hunger.
Yeah, sounds like a good book.
Give a link to that as well. I guess one of the final things we did want to mention as well, we'll put this in the show notes, is that there is, for people in Naam, there is a picnic coming up that's been organised in Edinburgh Gardens in Fitzroy. So on Friday, April the 3rd from 12 p.m. near the pavilion.
And that's Good Friday, just so people are
correct,
aware.
Correct. It is Good Friday. Thanks, Trev. And the request is to please bring a vegan plate of food to share.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's very fitting. Yeah, get involved with Food Not Bombs. And I guess just in closing, or as we close, that we remember Chris, we remember what Chris showed us about what it means to live our values.
Mm.
I think with consistency, humility and care. And, you know, the best way that we can honour Chris is to carry that forward, to keep showing up, to keep doing the work, and to also look out for one another. And Chris is deeply missed, yet he won't be forgotten. And thank you to Chris, loved by many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've only got about a minute to go, a bit over a minute to go, and we are then going to be making room for Rotations, who are coming on to play some music for you this Sunday afternoon for an hour.
Yeah.
But speaking of music, we have one music track of Carolyn's choosing, of sort of Chris's inspired bands.
Yeah.
And I think you were unsure of some of the ones to choose, weren't you? You're struggling to narrow it down.
I just think there's just so many amazing bands and so many memories. That's why I messaged Pete and said, oh, you know, what do you think we should play on the show? For the closing song, we're going to play a song by Perdition called New Anarchy. So Perdition were a punk band in Adelaide that sort of were playing from about 82 to 89 and then disbanded. And in 2011, the vocalist, Mark Hayes, basically got a sort of retrospective CD up and running, which is called Not Just Another Anthology.
Hmm.
And then that was picked up by a European label, etc., which was really awesome. So they continued on after 2012. And this song, New Anarchy, is from a EP that was released in 2019. And I also think they launched an album in 2025. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, awesome band. And this is New Anarchy. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Trev. Thank you to everybody who shared their reflections about Chris. That's really, really moving, and we will sort of put them together in some form that can be a living document. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Thank
Rest
you.
Rest in peace.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.